All right, I just wanted to read a couple things and share some hearts. And Matthew 11, 28 through 30, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Amen.
Amen. First James, "Consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. And now, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives it all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. But let us ask in faith without doubting." Amen.
Your great name.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave.
Calls my name, no more sorrow. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can meet with you on this day, the day you have made. Be with us today, and may we hear your voice, and we won't harden our hearts. Amen. When I was asked to do this, I wasn't real sure what I was going to speak on. And I made a promise a long time ago that I would do whatever the church asked me to do. And sometimes that catches up with me. And so I thought, what do I speak on? And my wife made the suggestion, well, speak on something that was important to you, to me. So I'm kind of selfish here. I promised my wife I wouldn't dwell on my past history, so I won't.
You're welcome.
I literally grew up in the Church of the Nazarene. I was in church before I was born. And back in those days, we went on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And my mom ended up being the delegate to one of the General Assemblies. So, yeah, I've been around the Church of Nazarene literally all my life. And one of the hobbies I have is that I study how hymns were written, how they came to be written, and I'm kind of a history buff anyway. I studied the Jewish faith. Before 9/11, I had a running conversation, an email with the chief rabbi of Israel. And so we asked each other questions. It's kind of interesting. So those are pretty much my hobbies. And music has always been a part of my life. At 3 years old, the doctor told my mom, to stop my stuttering, I need to take up the accordion of all instruments. Really? So at 3 and 4 and 5 years old, I was playing the accordion. I couldn't hold it up, so they had to put it on a stand. But yeah, that saxophone and trumpet and singing in choirs and whatnot has always been a part of my life. And so looking up hymns and how they were written. And the truth is, music is what really touched my soul. That's the truth. It's one of the few things we still get to take with us in heaven, because there's not much preaching going to be needed in heaven. So that's where background I come from. And one of the hymns that my mom's favorite hymn, I looked up to history. You probably already know it, but I'm going to briefly. Horatio Spafford was a businessman and lawyer in Chicago. His wife, Anna, originally had 5 kids. One died of a disease. And then he was a very successful lawyer and businessman in Chicago, and also a very devout Christian. He was a Presbyterian, but we won't hold that against him. But the Chicago fire destroyed him financially, just wiped them out. And yet him and his wife, Anna, always left their home open for people that were worse off than they as a Christian ministry. Well, he built his business back up. And so they were going to take a trip to England on vacation, but they were going to go because one of his best friends was a guy named Dwight Moody, if you know who that is. Dwight L. Moody, one of the pioneers and Christians of the faith. They were best friends. He was preaching in England, and they were going to go see him. But something came up in his business, and he couldn't go with his wife and his 4 daughters. So he sent them on early in a ship. And he had to stay back to go meet with the businessmen to get permits to build something involved with his business. Well, 4 days into the journey, the ship that she was on, her 4 daughters, hit another ship, and that ship sank in 12 minutes. She's the only one that survived. When she got to England, he telegraphed her husband and said, survived alone. So he immediately, of course, took the next ship out, headed for England to meet with his wife. And into the journey, the captain of the ship called him to the bridge and said, we're over the spot where you lost your 4 daughters. Before he got to England, he had written the words, "It is well with my soul." My mind cannot get around how he and her survived spiritually, but they did. They eventually had more children, and they eventually went to Jerusalem as a missionary thing. They ministered to the Muslims as well as the Jews and anybody else that came along. When he died, they honored him by burying him on Mount Zion. Psychologists will tell you that the loss of a child is the most traumatic experience in the human experience. Nothing even comes close. And as a law enforcement officer of 17 years, I can tell you that when I got called out to go visit, well, they called it SID death. I don't know if you're familiar with what that is. Uh, 80% of the time, that couple divorced within a year. It's just absolutely devastating. And so this was my mom's favorite hymn. It was sung at her funeral. I love singing the song, but I can't hardly get through it sometimes. It's really hard. But the reason they survived that is because they focused on God and not the circumstances. That's simple. Now, I said it was simple. I didn't say it was easy. It's simple. Focus on God and not the circumstances. And I gave my wife handed out some things that the scriptures about people that focused on God and not the circumstances. Of course, one of the best ones is Peter. Peter walked on the water until he looked around and did what? Looked at the waves and said, "Men can't walk on water." He took his eyes off Jesus and he started to sink. Didn't he? Jesus, being who he is, didn't let him perish. However, I'll say this, unless God tells you to get out of the boat, you should probably stay in it. he took his eyes off Jesus. And of course, one of the scriptures that my wife handed out is when the king was looking at this vast armies coming against him. No way can they defeat that army. No way. But he says, our eyes, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. The other one, of course, one of the things about the twisted scripture, I think, Fred, was that, what are the heroes of the Old Testament? Mine, and I listed it, was Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. You think about this. They kept their eyes on God and got him off the circumstance and said, even if he chooses not to, we will not bow. That takes some sand in my book. I mean, that's facing what they were facing, and they kept it on God. And no matter what circumstances you're in, everybody has different. There's many individuals in this sanctuary. Everybody handles grief, suffering, whatever it is, a different way. But the main thing is to keep your focus on him and not the circumstances. I'll tell you one story about my mom and the legacy I grew up with. Is I'm helping her down the stairs one day at Tillamook, Oregon. It was one of the churches I went to as a child and kid until I was, went to the college, Nazarene College. We're coming down off the stairs, and she had a curvature of the spine that happened when she was a teenager. It never healed. So her spine, and early, her later years, it really caused her a lot of pain, extremely a lot of pain. And we're coming down off the steps, and the lady behind us said, "Gertie, you're doing pretty good under the circumstances." My mom wheeled on her heels and said, "My God is still on the throne. I am never under the circumstances." That's the legacy of people I had before me and as I grew up. And I did, something happened in my life that I did exactly what I'm asking you not to do and admonishing you not to do. And the church cast me outside the city gates. And I got bitter. I got my eyes off people and got them off God and away from the church. I did that. Don't do that. And the two options that we have when circumstances come against us, whatever they are, whether it be health, finances, relationships, if we get our eyes off on God and not on the circumstances, two options. You either get closer to Him or you go away. That's the choice you have. And I made the wrong choice. Until God gave me her. When we got together, God's audible voice said to me, Sherry mentioned it, said, we start going to church. I hadn't been going, and well, I'm embarrassed to tell you. And just as clear as day, he said, I've waited long enough for you. That will get you attention. If the Almighty says that to you, I'd listen up. Because, and it did, and we started going back, came back to the church. And if there's one person I have an example now in front of me about getting our eyes on God and not the circumstances, it's her. And she doesn't worry, literally, about anything, which is totally disgusting. I mean, it's, see, look, by the time I was 12 or 13 years old, because of my mom and my family, I have read every word of that Bible minimum 5 times. I had the knowledge, but I didn't have the wisdom. That makes sense? Big difference. Big difference. In some areas of our spiritual walk, Sherry is light years ahead of me. Seriously. And so they put it, God put us together for a reason, and I'm so glad He did. And so how do you, now the other application, this isn't going to be a long sermon, okay? How do you do that applicably? What do you do? I'm going to give you my opinion. Number one is prayer. Stay in prayer. Listen to what He has to say to you is more important than what you have to say to Him. And I know we're supposed to give our petitions to God, and that's true. That doesn't change. But I think, my opinion is that Samuel, oh, sorry, Jeff. My opinion is that Samuel had the perfect response. Speak, for your servant is listening. Isn't that the answer? To me, that's the response. And I still hear my mom praying beside her bed. And I could hear her. She thought she was closing the door, and you could hear her, but she would say, I'm not leaving here till I hear from you. That's it. That's the way she lived her life. And I'm not leaving here till I hear from you. Speak, for your servant is listening. Now, I've been asked, why does God allow trials and tribulations to come into our life? He does. He has to allow. Nothing happens without Him allowing it. That's the truth. Because the answer I give is because His plan for me is more important than my comfort. That's the way I see it. So stay in prayer. Ask Him what He has to say to you. And be honest with Him. You can't lie to God, obviously. You have doubts. You have questions. I grew up in an era, and I don't see that now, where there was some in the church that would verbally say, well, this wouldn't be happening if you had enough faith. This wouldn't be happening if you did if this. This wouldn't be happening if that. And if you remember when Jesus and the blind man, and they asked Jesus, what sin did this man or his parents commit that caused him to be blind. And she said, no, you don't get it. Nothing. Just the way we live in a fallen world. Just the way it is. And so I get that unbelief. If you have doubts, if you have questions, that's not a sin, folks. I have it on good authority. Jesus asked the question in the Garden of Gethsemane, Dad, is there any way this can happen without me doing this? And Dad said, no. That's the truth. And nevertheless, your will. But Jesus asked the question. He had a question. Can this happen without me doing this? No. No. And so if you have questions, you're not, that's not wrong. It's just, you're not fallen from grace or whatever. I questioned everything. Sherry's on her head. I still do. I do. I was my professors in the Nazarene College, their worst nightmare. And they said, why do you ask too many questions? My mom asked, why ask too many questions? Because I believe that I told her then, I told the professors then, I put Christianity under the most powerful microscope my mind can conceive. If it stands, it stands. It falls, it falls. It stands, folks. As a law enforcement officer and detective, I deal in evidence. I want it's true because the evidence says it's true. Not because I really wanted to believe it's true, because the evidence says it's true. And I've done the research. I questioned everything. There's nothing wrong with questions. Nothing wrong with questions. Confess that to God. You have doubts and fears. One of the greatest hymns ever written, Just As I Am, has the phrase, what? Through doubts and fears, inside and out, I still come. And so that's really it. The next thing is, be honest with God. You can't lie to him, obviously. Be honest with him. I have questions. I have doubts. And the next one, that, in my opinion, would be to seek someone out to talk to. Seek godly counsel. There's nothing wrong with that. Trust somebody you trust, that you know they're spirit-filled, and you just talk to them. They may not have the answers, but they're going to listen. And that helps. If you're going through a crisis, whatever it is, whatever it might be you're facing, the circumstances you're facing. Look for things to be grateful for. That's my opinion. Look for things you're grateful for. Sherry knows this. I have a couple of really, one of my best friends going through some really hard times right now. Really hard. And I think, you know, I complain about my back, and I'm ashamed that I do, because I got friends that are way, way worse off than me. Way worse off. Way worse off. And I pray for them daily because they're having a really tough time. Really hard. They got wives that have cancer. It's just really hard. And so, but seek godly counsel. Talk to them. Tell them what you're going through. They may not have the answer, but it helps you if you talk about it to somebody that you trust. That's my opinion. Now, obviously, the next one is walk in the Holy Spirit. Listen to what the Holy Spirit's telling you. Listen to what the Holy Spirit tells you. And that's the other thing. The Holy Spirit will guide you. And so that's the other option. The other one is my worst one is, and that's wait on the Lord. I hate to wait. I just hate it. I don't have any patience for it. Wait on the Lord. And if it's a test, if God seems to be silent, you've taken tests before. I'm sure you have. Have you ever noticed that the test giver is silent during the test? Wait on the Lord. I'd rather have God tell me flat out no than tell me to wait. And things don't, Terry and I just recently went through a situation where things weren't happening as fast as we'd like. God's timing is not our timing. I confess that he's never been late. He's never late. But I confess I wish he'd be early just once in a while. Just once in a while. And Sherry, again, she just kept telling me, things aren't... And she said, God's in control. I prayed about it. In her view, and she'll tell you this, in her view, she prays about something, gives it to God, and if he brings it up again, just slapping him in the face. That's her view. And so, yeah, wait on the Lord. And that's not easy to do. Simple, but not easy. And the last example I'll give you, in my opinion, of absolutely, unbelievably focused on God and not on the circumstances is the thief on the cross. Think about that. He focused on God and not on circumstances. If you, I'm not going to go into pathology of being crucified. What's going on with him physically is just your mind can't get around. It really can't. And yet, he focused on what mattered. He told the other thief, do you not even fear God? Focus and kept his focus on God and not on what he was going through. And Jesus' pert response was, remember you? I'm going to do better than that, which God usually does. I'm going to take you with me. Can't get any better than that, can you? Amen. And so, I'm not perfect. I don't, circumstances, I got to remind. I did this sermon to remind myself. Focus on God and not on the circumstances. Whatever's swirling around you, whatever's swirling around this church, focus on God and not the circumstances. And I'm going to close with this. Especially in the time when you don't make sense my presence or understand my path. I am hearing your questions. Even when you're anxiously seeking me, wondering where I have gone, I am with you. Do not fear. Sometimes you fret, wondering if I'm still watching over you. Things happen that don't make sense, causing you concern, fear, panic. My child, I am never apart from you. I never lose control or forget you. You are engraved on the palms of my hands. You are the apple of my eye. No need to come looking. Sit quietly before me. I'm here. Signed, God. Standeth my way. That's all I've got.